I'm very excited about the word I have tonight. The Lord started dealing with me about a subject, and I was getting very excited about it for the youth. I really was. I was like, man, this is going to be good. I think we're going to make a series. This might even be so good. I asked Pastor if we can make a youth product. Like, I'm getting excited about it. And as time went on, you know, I just started to meditate on it, and even in the office would talk to Miss Katie from time to time about, man, I just wish Christians knew this. I just wish people would get this. Like, this is so important. And so finally, I felt like I had release in my heart to share it with the teenagers, and then Pastor Jay calls, and I go, oh, you're trying to tell me something, Lord. You're trying to tell me this is important.
Yes, sir.
This is something that we all need.
Amen.
You know? Amen. And so I'm very excited about what we have tonight. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Have you ever felt like you're on the hamster wheel of life? It's okay, you can say yes. You're in church, so you should be honest. If I see people getting up to go to the parking lot, I'll know what's going on, as they don't want to answer the question. Anyway, sorry. So, have you ever felt like you're on the hamster wheel of life? Just spinning, 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 spinning?
Yes, sir.
Ain't going anywhere? I really liked the Facebook meme that came through a while ago. I don't really get too much into Facebook, but occasionally there's hilarious stuff on there. And it was the hamster running on the wheel, and all of a sudden he trips, and he's... The wheel starts turning him instead of him turning the wheel. Sorry, I thought that was hilarious. If you're into it, it's not animal cruelty or anything. So, but sometimes we feel like that, right? Like life has just begun to spin out of control. Did you know that it is not God's intention that your life ever spin out of control? I know I said Colossians chapter 4. All the youth know, I'm sorry. Go to Matthew chapter 16. Sarah, I didn't do that on purpose, I promise. By the way, graduates, you thought you got rid of me. Here I am. Talking to you. I was so excited because with all the things that were going on in the church, I was like, I really wish I just had one more service with the graduates, you know? And I don't often feel that way. I usually feel very satisfied at the end of the year that we accomplished God's plan and it all came out right. But this year I was like, I just need one more service. I just need one more. And so the Lord heard my prayer. And I'm very excited. Very excited. So graduates, you got me tonight. Because the Lord's on my side. Matthew chapter 16. This is a familiar story to us, so I'm just going to, for the sake of time, skip down to verse 19 of Matthew chapter 16. And this is Jesus. He's talking to Peter, and Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," which is a phenomenal confession.
Amen.
You know, occasionally you should just like a prairie dog, just poke your head up from your desk or whatever you're doing and go, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Just reaffirm your belief in His deity. Reaffirm your belief in Him as your Savior, as your Master. You know what I'm saying? It just ought to, every once in a while, just pop up in you. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, it does something for your faith. And so that was such a great revelation. And Jesus said that you didn't receive this of yourself, Peter, but my Father has revealed it unto you, and you are blessed. And you're going to be called Peter. And he started to say some things over Peter's life. And then he said, and this revelation, not Peter as a person, but the revelation that Peter had, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the rock that the church is built on. And that is the rock that will cause the church to prevail in every situation. That the gates of hell cannot prevail against that revelation that the church is built on, that He is the Christ.
Amen.
the anointed, the Messiah, the one that was promised. Glory to God. Does something for your faith. Just say it. Verse 19, Jesus said, after he said the gates of hell are not going to overcome the church, he said something else. He said, I give you, actually in the King James, he says, behold. So he's getting your attention.
Right.
Behold.
Yeah.
In other words, listen up.
Right. Yeah.
I give you. Now, if you're not careful, you'll look at this with religious eyes. And that you becomes someone else. Oh, he's talking you in a general sense. But he's not. He was talking to the disciples in a very personal setting. And he said, I give you the keys. That whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose is loosed in heaven. And I think it's interesting that this is connected to the revelation that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's interesting that this revelation of authority is connected to that. Because if you read in Ephesians chapter 1, we won't turn there, Ephesians chapter 1, it says that he's been made the head over all things to the church. Now, some people misread that and misquote it. And you can tell where they're at in their spiritual walk by how they misquote it. And they say, he's been made the head over the church. So in other words, they don't have the revelation that everything is under his feet. Well, the church is under his feet, sure. But my heathen boss. I'm just saying. If you listen, people will tell you where they're at. And you can help them. Because the Holy Ghost will give you wisdom. But so the thing is he's been made the head over all things. Is there something not included in all? Last I checked, all means all. And why was he made the head over all things? For the church. For you. For you. In him you have this authority. In him that you can bind and loose. So God's will is not that you be kicked from pillar to post and slide around on the hamster wheel of life. God's will is that you be in control. Do you know, I think that's one of the main reasons why over and over and over and over and over and over again in the New Testament, you see the revelation of the authority of the believer and in him. And then right after that, you see submitting yourselves one to another. Mm-hmm. Submitting unto the elders.
Right.
Love your brother.
Right.
Do good to the household of faith.
Yep.
I think it's just like, he's just like trying to remind us constantly, yeah, you're in control, but don't forget that faith doesn't work without love.
Yes.
Faith doesn't work without honor.
Amen.
Faith doesn't work without submitting to right authority.
That's right. Amen.
See, all these different things. So God's will is that you be in control. And faith begins. Remember this statement. Remember this statement. Write it on your notes. Write it on your heart. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Don't just typey-typey. Righty-righty. Righty, righty, on the tablet of your heart. You want to know why your faith is working? Or your faith is not working? Think about that statement. Just meditate on it. Ruminate. We'll come back to it. I just want to make a few statements, and we'll get into what we're going to talk about, just because I have such a sense of the importance of what we're talking about, and I'm believe with me for utterance that it comes out the way that it needs to come out with clarity, that this is a bigger message than just me. This is a bigger message than just teenagers. Because if Christians knew a little bit of the wisdom that we're going to talk about tonight, the overwhelm that comes on us would not. You know, If you seek God, because faith begins where? Where the will of God is known. So if you seek God and you just use some good natural wisdom in doing things, and I'm going to talk about knowing what the main thing is. Because anybody that is a high-achieving person, anybody that bears much fruit and fruit that remains, they know that the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And I think it's interesting that we started where we started, because the main thing is that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Everything else falls in line behind that. So if we use some wisdom when we set about our life, right? I'll just get practical right away, if you don't mind. I know you don't. In setting goals, making plans, managing tasks, managing our time, it'll free up our measure of faith. Because if you are more specific and more selective, you, in what you exercise your faith on, you'll be more effective in receiving from God. I didn't say it. A minister that I very much respect said, if you'll be more selective, you'll be more effective. But it is true. Let me give you a couple examples just before we move on here. How about writing things down and then returning to those notes? I'm not even going to ask. The military did a study. I didn't do it. Business didn't do it. The military did it. And they're one of the most wasteful organizations around. And they realized we got a problem with waste, so we're going to do a study. They did a study between in meetings, having people write notes by hand, type on a typewriter, and use these newfangled computers. Do you know what they found? The people that took notes by hand, no matter how good or bad their handwriting was, up to 3 weeks later, they retained 60 to 80% of the information. Why in church do we text? I'm just asking the question. Well, my handwriting's terrible. Make it better. I had to. My handwriting's still terrible. Just ask anybody in the office. They'll be like, oh yeah, I can't read that. It's not for them to read. It's for me. More recent studies have been done with people taking notes on laptops. Do you know what they found? Students in college who are taking notes on laptops only retain about 5% of the information up to 3 weeks later. Now, I know church is a spiritual exercise, and we should be capturing the word with our spirit, but we are a three-part being. We are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. And anybody that has any sense knows the spirit can only receive what the bottom can endure. Come on now. Don't look sanctimonious to me. Come on. Don't do it. Come on. If we're here at 10:30 at night, you'd be going, oh yeah. Oh yeah. The spirit's only going to receive what the body can endure. Right? So, if we're going to give our spirit the best chance to retain the information and to meditate on it and to hold it in the table of our heart, why would we get away from doing what has been proven over and over throughout history to be the most effective means of remembering information? Because this is what people do. I'm just saying, people will burn through their faith currency to improve their memory. And God already provided you a great memory. Some paper and a pen. All I'll tell on myself. Do you know where I miss it? If I miss a task, you know where I missed it? I'll tell you. I didn't write it down. And you should see some of the sticky notes I write on. There is stuff everywhere. Everywhere. Am I ever going to use that sticky note again? Oh, no. But just the fact that I wrote it down made a huge difference. Here's the next part. It's even more powerful if you return to it. There's this funny thing, and it happens when we listen to music, that when you listen to music, especially like the first time you listen to a song, if you go back in your memory later and you start recalling that song, you start recalling the sights, the sounds, everything about when you first heard that piece of music. It's just, that's, and I don't mean to preach psychology, but it's just a people thing. The same thing happens when you go back and review your notes. The sights, the sounds, everything that was going on the inside of you, it all comes roaring back. Let's give ourselves the best chance for success. And by the way, if you're not burning up faith on God improved my memory when he gave you a pen and paper, you can use that measure of faith for something else. You know what I'm saying? As a result, have you ever connected the fact that you're just not, dare I say it, following the direction that comes and helps ministry to write things down? And so you're using your faith to remember all of your assignments? I can't look at anybody in this room. So I'm just going to look at the ceiling. You're using your faith for this, and yet you're coming up short in your finances. There is a connection there. And it's not just, there is, obviously we need to honor direction when it comes, but there's another connection of you have a measure of faith that you're exercising. Yes, it's growing, but you have a measure. Right. Yes, sir. Yeah. Do you really want to use your measure for something when you got a natural help? Yeah. I'm not against using your measure of faith for healing in your memory, if that's what you need. I'm not against that. By all means, but use a pen and paper while you're doing it. Because that'd be just like taking medicine, right? And most of us don't have that medical condition, you know, just being real. How about this? This is one that I run into a lot and one that we all work on. No matter how organized you are, the most organized person in this room, still working on this. Have a simple and clear system to manage your time. Now let me say those first two things again. Have a simple and clear system, because if it's too complex, you won't use it to manage your time. And this is how it came to me. We're praying in the car, listening to the Bible on audio, watching Pastor while we're doing the dishes, and running from one activity to the next with our hair on fire. And then we're standing in faith to receive strength. We're also travailing in prayer just to make time in our schedule to rest. But you know, God already provided you with the tools you need to redeem your time. A calendar, a schedule, and the word no. He provided you all the tools you need. How about if you just looked at your calendar once a week? Oh, I'm guilty. I'm saying, oh me, just like, see, well, Holy Ghost talks to me, I don't get out of it. What if we just looked at our calendar once a week and made decisions about how our week was going to go? How much more control would we be exercising? What would we be binding and loosing? Just from using some good old-fashioned grandma wisdom. Come on. I'm just saying. I'll tell you another one. Remember, where does faith begin? Where the will of God is known. How about you're attempting to use your faith to push into or pull out of something that is not God's plan for you? As a result, I'll tell you my own testimony here. As a result, your measure of faith and your prayer time are being consumed with going against God, and there is nothing left for anything else. Personal testimony time. I don't have a fireplace, but we could light one. Get comfy. I knew that I was called to the ministry from a very young age. And I ran from it for a time, sort of ran from it for a longer time, and finally just did it. Finally just committed to it, and then found out how long preparation time really is. And in case you wondered, it's longer than you thought it would be. Oh yeah, it's only going to be a couple years. Come talk to me in a couple years. I'll encourage your faith. And just on a side note, if you are called to the ministry, God's not looking for quitters. He's looking for fighters. He's looking for people that ain't going to quit when it gets hard. So if in your preparation time you quit, you've disqualified yourself. God didn't. Because in this era, it requires some little crazy people. Because you have to stand against some stuff. And if you think you got a big call on the inside of you, I'll remind you of what Brother Wigglesworth said. Great faith is built on great battles. So the bigger your call, just gear up and value the preparation time that you have. I'll just tell you another quick story while we're in the middle of this one. I had it on my heart to help pastor, actually. I'm not ashamed to say that, in a certain way. And so I had on my heart to learn a certain thing. And I said, okay, I'm going to learn a certain thing. This ain't going to be hard, but I'm going to learn it. And then the opportunity to help came and went, and my petals kind of wilted because I didn't get called on to help. Now, never mind the fact that I hadn't learned enough of what I needed to know to be able to fill a thimble, let alone help anybody. But you know, our natural mind. So anyway, in the process of time, a couple more opportunities came and went. And every time I heard about an opportunity, I'd start gearing up again. Well, recently, God dealt with me. He said, this is going to happen, and you're going to go do this. And I'm not telling you. It's my business, not yours. Anyway, so he told me what I'm going to do. And I said, well, Lord, I ain't ready. And he said, I told you in 2013, what have you been doing? Well, so now I got to cram for a test that I shouldn't have had to cram for if I'd have just been properly managing my business. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, see, first two examples, there you go. Personal testimony time, example number three. See, I'm coming back to the story that I was in the middle of. You got to be able to do this. Just saying. So, I was believing God to be, I wasn't even specifically believing God to be on staff here, per se. I was just believing God for being in the full-time ministry, for my income to come from the ministry. And I'm serving in Helps Ministry. I'm serving everywhere that I could get a foot in. And if they didn't have a foot, I was coming and saying, is there somewhere else I can help? Because I didn't have children at that time, and I knew that I had the time available.
Come on.
You see what I'm saying? You have to be wisdom, know what season of life you're in. And I wasn't bringing my own plan. I was bringing with a good heart, coming and saying, can I help here? Can I help here? Can I help here? I see there's a need here. It is, you know. And so anyway, you're doing everything that we learned in Bible school, everything that they taught me in Rhema, everything I heard anybody do, thought anybody do, dreamt in the middle of the night. Doing it all. But in the middle of this, there was a department that I was serving in. And it just became very difficult. And where once relationships were very easy, they became very hard. And you know how sometimes that happens when something's going on spiritually, sometimes your flesh gets a little sensitive, you know? And so So I just was like, Lord, if you will release me from this, I would be grateful. And, you know, it's not like I'm, in my mind, not like I'm bringing some great supply, they can move on without me, this kind of thing. I think I'd just be more effective over here. You know what I'm saying? I can tell you the day. It was May 1st, 2016. We were coming back from Tim and Jenny Miller's wedding, Reverend Tim and now, and Jenny Miller's wedding. We're driving, had just gone on to Interstate 80, going over the Davenport Bridge, or the bridge there. And I had been talking with Melissa, my wife, and just talking about some different things in our finances, and then it got quiet, and we were just kind of thinking, and then it got quieter, because I was thinking we're really meditating on what we're talking about here, and then it was less quiet because I heard, and she just succumbed to the peace of the Lord, and here I am driving. Wishing I could succumb to the peace of the Lord. Anyway, and so we're driving, and finally the Lord was very straight with me, and he said, it's not my plan that you leave that department. Not my plan. And I said, all right, Lord, I will joyfully yield to your will. And I did, and I laughed about it, because I was like, thank God I'm in the will of God. Because faith begins where the will of God is known. Right? And as soon as I did that, like you could snap your fingers, it was tangible, it was physical, I felt faith return to me. And I'm not telling this story for my benefit, I'm telling it for your benefit, because I'm telling you, it can be like that. I felt faith, I mean, just on the inside, I wasn't tired anymore. And next thing I looked down, we're going 110, you know, because glory to God, we're going into it. You know what I'm saying? Then I looked around, started patrolling. I repent, Lord, for speeding. And so anyway, then just to tell you the result and how important it is to make sure that you're using your faith in line, being selective with your faith, so that you can be effective. Yes. Using wisdom. And then applying your faith where the will of God is known for you. Yes. Just to tell you the rest of the story, it was then in October of 2016 that Pastor called and said, we would like to bring you on staff. It wasn't the next day, so I won't tell the story like it was. I don't want to deceive you. It was several months. But that faith returned to me, because now I'm in line with what God's will is. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see how important this is? So let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. You can keep Colossians 4, 5 written in there. It's a great proof of what we're talking about. You'll enjoy it. Just keep it in your notes. Don't scratch it out. You can go back and study it later. See how it all connects. You'll be blessed. By the way, if I give you a number, it'd be a good idea to put a bullet. I don't promise I finish any list. So bullets are safe. That was a good pun, wasn't it? See? I'm funny. That's exactly the kind of lame joke the youth group expects. Anyway, I'm sorry. Ephesians 5. You know you love me, brother. You have to if you want to go to heaven. Ephesians 5, verse 8. That's why I buy the tactical cases. For you were sometime in darkness, but now you are light in the world. Or in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame to even speak of things which are done of them in secret, but in all things that are reproved, they are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever is reproved is manifest in the light. Verse 14. Wherefore he says, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as a fool, but being wise. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, don't be unwise, but understand the will, what the will of the Lord is. And we know the next verse that comes after this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, which is a critical component to being led by the Holy Ghost. But this is what I wanted to focus on. Verse 13 in the Amplified. But when anything is exposed and reproved by light, it is made visible and clear. And when everything is visible and clear, there is light. You have things in your life. You know, part of the reason why we get to spinning on the hamster wheel of life is we don't have clarity. Yeah. Things aren't clear.
Yeah.
Our purpose is missing or cloudy.
Right.
The why of what we're supposed to be doing is gone.
Yep.
Yeah. Or we've lacked the discipline to make ourselves do what we know is right. Because we don't see the importance of it.
Right.
It's become unclear to us. Verse 15 in the Amplified. Look carefully then how you walk or how you live. Live purposefully, worthily, accurately, and not as the unwise and witless. But be sensible, intelligent people. You know, sometimes Christians are the most gullible, believe in every little conspiracy theory that comes down the pipe. Now, I know they're out to get Trump, but really, you know what I'm saying? I don't doubt that they are. I'm just saying we can use some good sense and just say, okay, some of this is ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? We don't have to buy every gizmo, diet fad, exercise widget. Some people take so many gizzard cleaners, they don't even have a gizzard left. That's just not intelligent. It's just not intelligent. Just not. It's just like, well, I'm going to listen to Pastor in the service, and I don't need to write anything down. I got this. It's just not intelligent. Well, I have a relationship with God. I'm sure you do. And He gave you a pastor. So let's just use some intelligence, right? Okay, I'll stop meddling. Don't just go through the motions of life. Chart the course yourself. See, let God be your navigator and you be the helmsman. That He'll call out the course and you say, bearing 330, I. Don't let somebody else dictate the course of your life. Well, I have obligations. We all do. We all do. Don't use that as an excuse to let someone else have the control. Don't let your fear or laziness give you an excuse to not stand up and be at the helm of your life. Because God's will is that you be at the helm of your life. Why do you think in James 3 He said, behold, a giant ship is steered with what, a tiny rudder? Because He was telling you, you can control your life by the words you speak, by how you use your faith. Which is what we're discussing about. One thing, like I said earlier, if you look at people that bear fruit and much fruit, they know what the main thing is, and they keep the main thing the main thing. They don't get sucked off on little side trails and rabbit paths and this and that. Now, they might do a side project, but they do a side project that keeps the main thing the main thing. But a person who is witless, dull, or somebody that's just not wise and doesn't know what the main thing is, and so they're just beholden to whatever slaps them in the face. And that becomes the main thing. Whatever new thing comes along becomes the main thing. Or whatever their thing is the main thing. You know the biggest problem with the sovereignty doctrine? besides many of the other problems it has. But one of the big problems that it has is it takes people out of control of their own life, and it puts the devil in charge. Because whatever will be, will be. Would you like a little history lesson? Do you know where that came from? It came from the Crusades in the 1100s. Because knights that were Christian went to the Holy Land and they encountered Muslims. And in Islam, there's a saying, all is as God wills it. That came back to the church. And there was the beginning of the sovereignty doctrine. All is as God wills it. Well, if you don't have Jesus on the inside of you, you don't have any control. Because you don't have any authority. Our authority comes from the Christ, the Son of the living God. So if you don't have that, you don't have any control. So the only thing that you have to make sense of anything is, well, all is as God wills it. See, that doctrine didn't even really come from the Bible. People interpreted the Bible in light of someone else's experience or thinking. What does the Bible actually say about people who are like this? Well, I'm glad you asked. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14 says they sleep. They're like the dead. Things don't affect them. On the other hand, they're never in anything because they sleep through it. They're just in a fog. They don't know what's going on. James chapter 1 and verse 8 says a double-minded man, which is really what this is a person that isn't keeping their purpose, isn't keeping the main thing, isn't keeping what God said to them in the forefront. They're double-minded because, oh, this emergency came up. Oh, this happened. Oh, this happened. They're double-minded. They're never focused on one thing. And James chapter 1 verse 8 says they're unstable. Well, Reverend, I see some of this in my own life. Well, that's okay. I do too. But that doesn't mean I'm going to let it stay that way. See, God loves us and He says, come as you are. But He didn't say stay that way. He said, come up here. Be transformed. See? So keep. Just start working on it. Just go to work on it. Don't be condemned. Just go to work on it. We all do. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, and this is specific to people that are witless to not accept the gifts that God has given them in the ministry gifts. But it applies in a broader sense too, because there are children tossed to and fro. Whenever something new comes through, they're carried on the wave of that. It also says they're easily deceived. You just do a quick mental inventory of all the crazy people you know. Okay, the ones that aren't crazy either. Just do a quick mental inventory. And you will find, if you just think through, oh yeah, the ones that meet these criteria, they're dealing with all these problems. Whether they're Christian or not. See? You don't have to. Do you know, as a believer, you should have the most clarity of anyone in the room. When you walk into a meeting at work, you should see to the heart of the issue immediately. Why? Because you got an unction from the Holy One. And you walk in the light. And when the light shines, things are exposed. And you walk in, you just lay your finger on, you know, the discrepancy in the accounting seems to be in this office. Well, you know, the devil don't like that. People don't either. But you should be. You know, God really wants every believer to be a high achiever. Because He don't get no glory from you being broke, busted, and disgusted. Do you want to know what He gets glory from? Go to Matthew chapter 6. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Let's just take a little side journey. We'll come back. This is really still the main thing. And you'll see how it ties together here in a second. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 10. Well, this is the Lord's Prayer. I know it is. It's still the Bible. The Catholics didn't buy it. Just saying. It's not like they got a monopoly. It's the Bible. He said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you think, how do you think that's going to happen? I mean, let's stop and just bake on it a minute. How do you think that's going to happen? Because is the Lord here on the earth? No. Where is he? He's in heaven, seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for the saints. He's got enough of a problem. He's praying for all of us. Lord, give him strength. I'm teasing. I'm being a little facetious. But he's got a job. He said, you go. Behold, I give you the keys. I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. He said, you, us, the we-ins and the us-ins. We're going to bring it to pass. If you don't know what God's will is, how are you going to bring his will to pass on the earth? Do you know why evil things happen? Because we let them. All that it takes for evil to prevail is that good people do nothing. Say what you want about our president, but he is a good man that decided to do something. What are we doing? Do you know why managing your tasks is important? Because you can't manage your someone else until you can manage yourself. I know, we're all working on it, but it's just true. And the capacity that we have to manage ourselves is indicative of the capacity that we have to manage others. You can't run a business until you can manage someone else. And God's going to start you with one. Because you got to prove faithful in little things. If you're really smart, you'll use your faith in helps ministry so that you don't have to pay for that person to learn how to manage them. Right? Thank God for the local church. You have to learn how to manage yourself so you can manage other people. What has Pastor Jay ministered about this congregation time after time from this pulpit? Businesses, businesses, businesses. Why? Because when we control the money, we have influence to say, no, you are not putting a casino in my city. Oh yeah, by the way, we're going to become a dry county. Oh, by the way, you want to have that little disgusting little store? You got to take it out of this county. Oh, primary season. Oh, I'm sorry, we're not going to have a debate from you. You stand for things that we're not going to let in this county. Well, you guys are of a certain political party. We know. We still stand for righteousness. Amen. Did you know there's righteous Democrats? There are. Come on. And there's some dirty Republicans, just so you know. Don't you go by party. You go by the Holy Ghost. Go by the Holy Ghost. Because when we have influence, we have the ability to be a gate for God. Now, we should first of all be a gate for God in the Spirit. Have a prayer life. Have a worship life. Be someone that when you're riding on public transportation and the unction comes on you to reach out to that one, that you do. Win souls because they're of eternal value. Businesses are only temporal. It's going to stay here. And eventually here is going to get burned up and made new, and then they still ain't going to be here. That's all temporal. That's practice ground. There's more important work to be done. But what I'm saying is you these natural things, if we use our faith selectively, the way God leads us to, we can become very proficient. And as we become more proficient, we have a greater influence to affect our world for Christ.
That's right.
And we don't have to stand for things that are wrong.
That's right. Amen.
You see?
Amen.
Do you see?
Yes.
If you don't, that's okay. Just believe God that you do. We should never be confused as believers. We should always know what God's will is. We have an unction from the Holy One. We know all things. Romans chapter 15, verse 14 says, we are filled with all knowledge. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, those that are the sons of God are led of God. Proverbs chapter 25 says that those that seek God have been given all understanding. See? We should always know. We just have to be in the Spirit and fellowship with God. Fellowship, I'm going to tell you what. Seeking the plan of God is not for teenagers. It's for every believer. If you're at a phase of life where you say, well, my kids can seek God for His plan for their life, but I'm just going to go to my job. You have missed the crowning jewel of being a believer, which is fellowshipping with God over His plans, His purposes. And by the way, God has a plan for you until you're dust in the ground. And if you missed it on Sunday, Pastor was talking about there's classes in heaven. So God's still got a plan for you. Seek it. Be led of the inner witness. Well, he's not talking real loud. Well, Dad Hagin had a vision in 1959. And Jesus said, this is the last time I'm ever going to talk to you this way and give you direction, because from now on, catch what Jesus said to him, from now on you have to get direction like every other believer by the inward witness.
Amen.
Just follow peace. Follow the green light.
Right. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not for the young just to seek God's plan. All of us have a great privilege to seek God. And you know what the great thing about being a more mature person is? You have enough life experience to ask better questions. See, God shows a young person His plan for their life. They jump out and try to do it tomorrow. God shows an older person, more mature person, God shows a more mature person His plan for their life, and they start going, all right, Lord, where do you want me to start? Because they know that ain't going to happen tomorrow. Do you see? You get to ask better questions because you got more life experience. When God's plan comes to pass in the earth, He gets glory. Go to John chapter 15. I'm commencing to close. Just in case you wondered, I said that to myself 10 minutes ago. I just didn't say it out loud. Graduates, I didn't get to, but I do now. I charge you to know what God tells you to do. Not just in the big things, the macro things of your life, but I charge you to seek God. I challenge you to find the micro things in your life that God says to do that will reach that big thing. Because it's what we do every day that determines where we will be in 10, 15, 20 years. So graduates, I challenge you to do the hard work of asking God, how do I improve this week? In fact, I challenge all of us to do the hard work. Lord, this week, what fruit of the Spirit would you like me to work on? And then to speak our faith when we go into situations and say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I am going to walk in love. Flesh, you straighten up. Amen. We're going into this meeting, and I'm going to be the nicest person on the face of the earth.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Instead of using our faith for this, the big spiritual stuff, why don't we just use our faith to be better people? Father God, I thank you that you help me crucify my flesh because I can. You've given me control. I am not buying Chick-fil-A this week. Thank you for the fruit of temperance growing in me. Glory to God. And then he says, don't drive down Edgewood. Be obedient to that. I'm going to leave the office for lunch. Oh, hey, why don't you put your card down?
There you go.
Take the change out of your drawer. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, that spare 20 you hide in your car? Why don't you take it out? Yeah. See, the Holy Spirit will lead you. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. This is the more fruit, much fruit, fruit that remains. We know this. I'm going to read a little bit of it. We don't, for the sake of time, have time to read it all. Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser, and every branch in me that does not bear fruit, first level, not bearing fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, second level, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Unless you are a fellowshipping with the Lord, you cannot bear fruit. I don't care how many productivity and business books you read. If the fellowship component is missing, you are not going to bear fruit. You might accomplish tasks. You might complete to-do lists, but you are not going to bear fruit. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. In case you wondered, without the Christ, the Son of the living God, you can do nothing. Thank you, Lord, you help me breathe. Thank you, Lord, you help me stand straight. Thank you, Lord. Anyway. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them in the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. I'm going to tell you this. The word in verse 3 and the word in verse 7, them two words ain't the same word. Those words that are words aren't the same word. Verse 3 is logos or logos, which denotes the written word of God, whether it is read silently, read aloud, preached, or taught. So he is saying, by the word that I have ministered to you, that I have preached to you, that I have declared to you, that I have expounded to you, by that word you are clean. It's renewed your mind. Verse 7, that word is rhema, which means the living word. And it specifically denotes the active word spoken by the Lord to a personal believer, or to the believer at a personal level. Words of wisdom, those kinds of things, that is rhema. What he is saying is, if you abide in me and my living word spoken to you personally, abides in you. You'll ask what you will. Because at that point, where does faith begin? Where the will of God is known. Because at that point, His will becomes your will. And that's why God is glorified, because when His will is your will and you ask, so you ask whatsoever you will and you receive it, God's will is coming to pass on the earth. And He's glorified because His will is your will and you ask for what you will and you got it. Do you get what I'm saying? You follow me? So let's dispense with wasted faith. Do you know that you can believe God? You can't believe with faith outside of the will of God, but do you know that you can believe to supersede or overcome natural circumstances? In fact, that's the definition of a miracle. Is when the power of God intervenes in natural circumstances. I have a question. The miracle that you're believing God for, is that the miracle that your actions are asking for? Because if you're going and never resting, you're believing God for something. A miracle of rest.
That's good.
Did you really want to believe for that? Is your measure of faith ready for that? Or do you know what many of us are believing for without knowing it? We're really believing, Lord, hold the sun in the sky so that I can get more done. Is your measure of faith up to holding the sun in the sky? I'm just asking, I mean, some of this is, you know, Paul said, examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. How about we just examine what our faith is saying?
Yeah.
Maybe if we just did some natural things like wrote our tasks down and looked at our calendar every week and made a plan for, on Thursday, I'm going to work on budgets. Then we wouldn't have to be believing God, hold the sun in the sky. I worked in the construction industry, and they are notorious for, you're going to meet my deadline. But I never once had a situation where if I said, I have no one to give you, that they really got too bent out of shape. Because as long as I communicated with them what the situation was, we could almost always come to an agreement. You know where the problem happened? When I got in fear that we were going to lose business. And so I stopped communicating. I stopped being honest and upfront. I mean, I was always honest. I had integrity, but I'm just saying, I stopped being really upfront with these people and saying, hey, I don't got anybody to send you. I'm not trying to paint the wrong picture. Please forgive me. You know what I mean? I would just say, instead of just coming to them and saying, it's ugly, this is what I got. That's when the problems ensued. Because now they're panicked. They're afraid because they got a customer they're dealing with. I'm afraid because I don't want to deal with them. You know what I'm saying? And the person that's losing out is the customer. And they're afraid because they got millions of dollars on the line. They're waiting for this project to be done. And so now fear has taken hold of everybody. And we've totally lost control of the situation. But as long as I stayed in control. And I said, this is the situation. What can we do to work together? Always came out. See, sometimes we say no the wrong way. Sometimes we say no the wrong way. Instead, if we would just say, well, I can't come and help with this project, but I can come and help with this project. You see what I'm saying? So then you're staying connected. You want to know the key to surviving and thriving in these busy times that come through seasonally, is being in control of what you really have to do. And when the average American watches 4 to 5 hours of TV a day, we are not experiencing a time famine. We are experiencing a lack of organization. You see what I'm saying? And so, going back to John 15 here. If we let the written word of God renew our mind, and we abide with Him and we receive His rhema, His spoken word of God to us, He will tell you, you can't help with the maintenance work day. You need to rest. But what you can do is the other project that's going on Tuesday night, you can help with that and bring your supply there. And by the way, the IDP set up, you're just watching TV anyway. You might as well come fellowship and have fun. And help set up while you're there. You see what I'm saying? Like, I'm not prophesying to anybody. I'm just saying, because we're led. Or, you know, the other thing is, when people start organizing their life, this is the first thing that happens, is they set outrageous goals. I'm going to learn Russian in a year. Right. Right. Remember that miracle thing we were talking about? Is your faith really up to learning Russian in a year? You know? Why don't you let the Lord speak into your goals? Why don't you let the Lord speak into, you know, I'll just get real practical for a minute, that maybe XYZ task system is not for you. And God already knows that. And he's going to tell you, you know, you should probably talk to Miss Teresa and see how she does her sticky notes. Because that's for you. And you're like, I hate sticky notes. Well, God made you. Are you really going to argue with the guy that made you? I mean, don't you owe it to yourself to at least give it a shot?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right? Yes. Let God, talk to God about these things and let him talk to you. Yes. Now finally, last thing I'm going to say. You have a purpose. You don't even have to ask God what it is. Because our pastor told us. Oh, well, that's the purpose of the ministry. No, no, no. All things flow from the head. What's a ministry built out of? People. You is one of them. We is one of them. You have a purpose. To work with our pastors in bringing people into encounters with God. Helping them to always be victorious through the spirit of faith. And as you fellowship with God, you will get encounters. And you will then be able to bring people into encounters. See, take that. Before you just go seeking God and doing some crazy big thing, Lord, I need clarity in my life. Tell me my purpose. He will refer you back to May the 26th. And say, your purpose is to bring people into encounters with God. Always helping them always be victorious through the spirit of faith. That means you have to always be victorious. So now we're back to, okay, I got to walk in the spirit. I got to follow the inward witness and actually talk to God. I can't just listen to the Bible on audio. I really need to like make time in my schedule. And now we're back to where we started. Let's do some natural things. Just because it's wise. Let's plan an appointment with God.
Yes.
God, I'm going to meet you at 6 a.m. Lord, help me.
Amen.
I'm going to meet you. And Lord, whatever you want to talk about, we'll talk about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Lord, if you don't have anything you'd like to talk about, I would like to talk about these things. Well, God already knew you were going to make the appointment. He already has an agenda. What changed? You did. You took control. And because you yielded to the Holy Spirit to take control, now he's in control of you. You see? See the circle that we just drew here? This is so very important. So very, very important. We can't go where we need to go as a church without this. We need you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and all of us to be in our place, marching forward in our rank, neither swerving to the left nor to the right, but advancing as a unit, taking weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, doing righteous battle in the Spirit as happy, joyful warriors of the truth. That's how we get to 1,200 strong. That's how we get to where God has us in the Spirit, where He already sees us operating and being. So just talk to God tonight. Don't wait. Once the kids are in bed, start talking. Talk to God tonight and say, Lord, what can I do? What should I do? And be reasonable. Because don't do 30, because the devil will come. And he will say, oh, and by the way, you are a terrible, terrible speller. You need to work on your spelling. You need to write that down as a goal. Oh, and by the way, you need to be able to do a handstand because you're out of shape. Write that one down. Oh, and, whatever it is. You need to learn how to play the sitar, you know, because you've always wanted to do that. What? Anyway, you know, talk to God and let Him talk to you. And then spend time with Him to let Him unfold His plan for how to move forward in these things. And let Him lead you to the natural resources so that you don't have to just relearn everything. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a bookstore, even a secular bookstore, and I've been in a bookstore and I've just been walking down the aisle and the Holy Ghost said, buy that book. That's a business book. Buy that book. Okay. And I read it and you know what? Had an answer. Now there was 300 pages of hay to burn for the 50 pages of, you know, there was 50 pages of good. But I had to be led and God had to, you know, I had to learn how do I filter these things. You see what I'm saying? So I had that on my heart to just give you some practical things and talk about how we weave this together so that we can be who God wants us to be.